Salaam alaikum, hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Retail Remix Stories powered by Find. This is your place to get up close and personal with inspiring business leaders who are not just building great businesses, but through their massively transformative purpose are changing and shaping commerce for tomorrow. Our guest today is someone who comes from the very exciting space of fast-moving consumer goods. He spent a lifetime building great businesses in the region, and I'm extremely happy and delighted to welcome a person who moved very quickly from being a stranger to being a friend, philosopher, and guide. Please welcome Mr. Anu Gupta, CEO of Britannia Industries Global Business. Welcome to the show, Anu, sir.
Thank you, Dharmendra. I'm really, really happy to be on the podcast. Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure, sir, to meet you again. And you've always been kind with your time. And thank you very much for doing this. I know that you have back-to-back trips planned and you've taken the short time out. So thank you for that. But this is all about inspiring leaders and their stories, right? And no story can be complete if you don't understand who the person is who we are talking to. So we'd love to understand if you can share with our listeners, what was your growing up days like? Were there any key influences that have made you the person or leader that you are today?
Right. No, thanks for that. And I do believe that whatever I am today has been a result of my upbringing, my education, my overall view about the world. So, you know, I would like to say that I grew up in Delhi in India, and it was a very, I would say, a childhood that was full of a lot of science, maths, logic, and at the same time filled with a lot of sports. So I was an avid footballer, just for information. And
do you still follow football?
I do follow football, and I used to play also. Till I had a knee injury, which left me out, and then, you know, I had to get a surgery for it later on.
Oh my God!
But you know, it was a passion, as well as following music, and do hum sometimes when I get the chance. So it was a balanced childhood. I have come to appreciate that everything in the world comes with a balance, and if we are able to preserve the right balance, then we are able to, you know, enjoy everything to the fullest. And for me, in terms of my studies at that time, science and maths was something I was very passionate about. So I went and I did my engineering from one of the prestigious institutes of India, Delhi College of Engineering. I am an industrial engineer by profession. And then, you know, I had a stint with one of the large FMCG companies for internship. And then I, you know, kind of moved into a different career, a career of business, when I did my MBA, postgraduate management from IIM Lucknow. And then I entered the business world in the year 1998. So not very long back, just about 27 years ago. And the last 27 years has been a roller coaster ride. I've learned a lot. I have been very blessed to have excellent mentors, excellent leaders under whom I have worked, and also very, very good colleagues who are more friends than, you know, colleagues, and who have been very passionate about their work, and we have created, you know, lifelong bonds, lifelong friendships. Worked with many multinationals and large Indian corporates in India. Worked with Colgate, worked with Asian Paints, worked with Dabur. And then for the last 20 years, you know, I moved out of India. I had a long stint in Africa, where I was based in Ghana and Nigeria for about 6 years, wow, managing large food businesses. And then for the last 13 years, been here with Britannia. And currently I'm managing the international business for Britannia, as you introduced me. And the mandate is basically to expand Britannia's footprint globally. So as you know that Britannia is a very large Indian bakery company. In fact, we're the largest in India. And we have existed for a long time. We started in 1892. That was a long time ago. So the mandate is to grow Britannia globally. And we started with a footprint in the Middle East, in 2007, actually, by a couple of acquisitions. And then, you know, we have slowly expanded. Now we also have manufacturing presence in Africa. So, you know, this is the way we have been doing it. So very happy to be here. And I have spent the last 13 years in Dubai with Britannia. Also seen the way Dubai has massively expanded and grown. And let me tell you that it's a blessing to be here. It's a great place to be.
Amazing. I think we both are aligned on that, right? So in fact, my own purpose in life now is to be in Dubai and you know, help businesses expand here. But I think I'll just go back to your childhood a bit more, right? Were there any key influences? Do you remember a teacher or a mentor who's said something to you that's kind of been a leadership nugget that you're using even today?
Absolutely. I think my biggest mentor was my dad, God bless his soul. And he was a physicist. He was a scientist. He worked with the Ministry of Science in India. And he used to basically teach BSc, MSc students.
Wow, okay.
Physics, chemistry, maths. That was his profession. So what he taught me was the leadership lesson that I have clung on to throughout my life. And the lesson is very simple that, you know, do what you want to do with full passion, with full vigor. Don't hold yourself back when you want to do something. And also this whole thing about balance, which I was telling you, everything is important in life. So it's not only work, it's not only family, it's not only friends, it's not only sports, it's not only music, it's not only food, it's not only travel, it's not only culture. Everything comes together as a package, and you know, we need to make the most of it. So that was the lesson that has stayed. I've tried to be true to whatever I'm doing, whether it's watching a movie or, you know, eating my favorite food, you know, enjoy it, be happy about it, and put in your 100%. So I think that is the biggest lesson that I got from him in my childhood. And the other big lesson that he gave me, which I'm very grateful to him for, is the absolute need for physical activity and physical fitness. You know, it's not only important to have a good career or a good family or a good this thing, but health is always priority. So we need to spend time. He always used to say that out of the 24 hours in a day, why can't you devote even 1 hour to your body?
To your body.
Which this body is serving you for the entirety of your life. Why can't you devote, you know, some time to your body? Yeah. So I think that was ingrained at a very young age. So the interest in sports, the interest in physical activity, you know, I was very keenly, avidly, you know, watching football, following football. My childhood heroes were Pele, Maradona, you know, Platini, all these, right, you know, football greats. I was also, as I said, scientifically oriented. Albert Einstein was somebody I used to read a lot about.
Right.
I still do. I still follow him. So it was a mix of everything, I would say.
Right. Right. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And we see that now, right? So now I can join the dots and know why Anu is the way he is, right? But I think coming to Dubai, right, we were talking about it and I think we went back a bit. But how has your experience in Dubai been, right? So from setting up business, and you lead a very complex web of industrial, you know, complexity of the business, right? So
right,
how do you deal with it, and how easy or how difficult is it to be here as a business?
Yeah. So as I said, we acquired these companies in the Middle East in the year 2007. And our factories in Al Quds industrial area, it was one of the earliest industrial units that was set up in Dubai. It used to make biscuits and wafers, and it started in 1994.
Oh, right.
Strategic Food is the name of the local entity that we operate with here. So I joined the company in 2012. And the business was still at its, you know, inception stages, because the acquisition was completed in 2008. And then slowly we had started developing the business. So I had the good fortune of joining at the beginning.
Right.
So, and also Dubai was massively expanding and growing.
Right.
So what I can say after, you know, having worked across the world and having looked at, regulation, government control, processes, procedures all over the world, what I can say is that Dubai government has been extremely progressive in their thinking. They've always been having a problem-solving, you know, approach, if I may, which means that they're very closely monitoring, you know, their processes and the way things are happening. And they are very quick to take action. Even before the user of the service realizes, the service gets upgraded. So I have seen the entire digital transformation happening with the Dubai government. And more and more, you know, we have gone paperless. More and more, we have gone away from bureaucratic processes.
Absolutely.
Almost everything that we do today, which is related to the government, is done online. And all the renewals are done online. All the applications are approved online. And the way the government has progressed in terms of process improvement and reducing bureaucracy is amazing. At the same time, I would say that the infrastructure has really come of age.
It's
and
a
it
very
has been
place,
expanding.
Right?
Yeah, as we all know, and we are all
correct.
Lucky to be here and lucky to live here. I sometimes tell my colleagues that we are kind of spoiled here.
Yes,
and when
absolutely.
We end up in some other place, you know, whether it is Europe or whether it is Asia or wherever, we do miss. We do miss the things that we take for granted here.
Yes.
Yeah. So, so it has been a good journey. And of course, our business has also expanded significantly in the last 13 years since I am here. We have expanded to newer markets. In the beginning, our main focus used to be UAE, Saudi, few markets. And now we have been able to expand our footprint into Africa. We have been able to expand our footprint to Egypt. So we are now slowly starting to play more in the Middle East and Africa region
right.
than what we were, a decade ago.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I think just continuing on that thought, right? So food has its own realities. You know, we say every 100 kilometers tastes change. But you are in a segment which is probably more international in that sense, right?
Right.
So how do you manage kind of a portfolio that gets created for a food company?
Right. I mean, that's a great question. And I think that is the heart of what defines success in the food industry. How do we understand our consumers, their palates, their needs better than competition? I think that's the heart of the food industry. Luckily for us, biscuits is a very, I would say, robust, a very good category. It is packed, it is baked at at a very high temperature, 120 degrees, 130 degrees. So it's very safe, it's very hygienic, and it lends itself to a lot of creativity. So we have a full-fledged marketing and R&D team that is positioned here. We also coordinate very well with our headquarters, which are in India, as I mentioned earlier, and we have a huge R&D setup there. So what we try to do is we try to uncover regional tastes. Like for the GCC region, we try to uncover the palate profiles that the locals like, and we try to introduce variants to the iconic products that we have. We try to introduce variants which capture the local palates. For example, everybody knows about digestives, like the whole
right.
world knows about digestive biscuits. But what we did was we brought a digestive which has, Habatal Barka seeds on it.
Right.
So, which is like really good, it has a lot of therapeutic properties and very strongly entrenched in the Arab culture. So we got it in the name of Black Seed Digestive.
Right.
And it started doing very well. Similarly, we've got a brand called NutriChoice,
right.
which houses all our health products. So we have products which have different seeds in it. We have products which have different grains in it. just to make it healthier and which resonate with the Arab consumers.
Right.
In the indulgence space also, we have introduced products which are coated with chocolate, filled with chocolate, etc., etc. We are very, you know, kids really like it. The local people really like it. So it's the start of a journey, I would say, Dharmendra. It's not some kind of an achievement or anything. I would say that we are just, let's say, in the first phase of our journey,
right,
where we are just understanding the consumers and we are trying to come up with products which are more suitable to the local tastes. At the same time, we have also ensured that our communication and all sorts of communication, like on pack or digital communication, is all tailor made to suit the local taste preferences, Arabic, things which are embedded in the local culture traditions.
Right, right.
So those are the things that we take inspiration from.
Amazing. Yeah. So good to know, right? And I think localization is the best way that you can actually treat your customers well. The other part of this is the entire focus on functional foods and, not additives, but maybe upgraded food products. And that's a big theme right now. Call it healthy if you may, but, and what's, right, what do you think is the journey that you're seeing here?
Yeah. So that's an upcoming trend, right? That's everybody is talking about functionality. Protein, for example, has become the single largest talked about, food trend in the world today.
Right.
And we, of course, what we do is we have always, so point number one is we've always been focusing on health. Even before these trends came, we were always focusing on health. Most of our products, we have been consciously trying to reduce the sugar, salt, and saturated fat levels, in these products for many, many years. We have already eradicated trans fat, cholesterol, etc., all these kind of things from our food products more than a decade ago.
Right.
And we were already in the zone of making the products healthier and healthier. And now we have accelerated this by introducing, under the NutriChoice brand, a range of products, some of which have been launched and some of those are in the process of being launched. For example, a protein biscuit, for example, a multi-grain biscuits with millets. Now, millets is, of course, as we all know, a much better grain, which with lower glycemic index than wheat. So slowly we are moving to that. We have recently launched our sugar free range of crackers because, wow, we believe that there is a growing demand for sugar free products in the region. So we have a digestive which is sugar free, we have a cracker which is sugar free, we have wafers that are sugar free, etc.
Right.
So we do keep studying the trends and keep coming up with products that are ahead of the curve.
Right.
And health is, as we all know, is not an absolute thing. It's a relative thing.
Right.
So for each person, health is very unique.
Right.
So if you are healthier than what you were, some time ago, that means you are on the right direction. But somebody, right, else would be more healthy and somebody else would be less healthy than you. So it's a relative thing. So similar in our products also, it's a relative thing. We always want to move in the right direction and we always want to move from less healthy to more healthy to more healthy.
Right.
That's the overall approach that we have taken, no matter what we sell. In addition to that, one very interesting development happened a couple of years ago in India, where we partnered with the French giant Bell,
right,
who are known for their dairy products, right, and who are known for lavash kiri and so many great cheese products.
Right.
So we have exclusively tied up with them, and we have a huge factory that has come up in Maharashtra in India, which produces cheese and other products. So dairy is a very key focus area for us as Britannia. Although in this region we have not yet launched the full range, but it remains a big priority for us. We have a full range of cheeses, which of course are a very healthy alternative. It's a high source of protein, as we all know. And we also have a big range of milk-based drinks, like milkshakes, like smoothies, like yogurt drinks, you know, a lot of these things. And we are also, you know, innovating with more and more products. So dairy also, in a way, gels with the health trend,
right?
Because dairy products are obviously really healthy, and the consumption of dairy, as we all know, is growing rapidly. The adoption of dairy is growing rapidly, at least in the developing emerging economies of the world.
Right.
So that is also something which is priority for us.
Amazing, very well put. I think the other thing that always excites me is about how you apply technology to a business and help it scale. And I know that you're an avid technology fan, right? You are always updated on the latest what's happening. And you said a very interesting thing, which I'll want you to repeat. What did you say about AI?
No, I think it's technology is an amazing thing. Technology has changed, you know, the way we interact. You know, this whole podcast is, you know, happening because of technology. So technology is a great enabler, and I am a firm believer that everybody needs to be trained, needs to understand, you know, the basics of technology. Artificial intelligence, as we were just chatting a bit earlier, is one of the buzzwords today. And of course, artificial intelligence is here to stay. It's making life simpler, better, faster, easier for people, for corporates, for everybody. But I do believe that, you know, it's become almost like a fad, you know, these days. Everybody is, you know, trying to say that, you know, how we've added AI into our processes and systems and communication, etc., etc. I do feel that it's a work in progress, and every corporate, every company, every individual is taking their time to learn this, to learn the ropes, as you would say. And, you know, the benefits of this would be seen over the next maybe years, or, you know, decades, or even more than that. Right now, it's more like, as I was saying, it's more like a buzzword. It's more like a checkbox that, you know, everybody wants to
talk about.
Yeah.
Right. And I think one of the other challenges that I see, especially in the region, is one of the challenges in the region is talent, right? And right. I know that you're looked up to as a great leader who mentors a lot of people. When a young person comes to you, what are the things you look for in them? And then how do you kind of mentor and grow them?
Yeah, so I think talent is something which is the least understood, in my opinion, in the corporate world. And talent is mostly typecasted in a very narrow definition. And also, I believe that organizations find it very difficult to create the right environment and the right, you know, place for the employees or for the people to actually show off their talent. And a lot of time, this talent is just what I call a hidden talent, or something which has a potential, but it never gets to see the light of day.
Right.
So, at least in our team, what we try to do is that we try to give 100% autonomy and, you know, independence to individuals.
Right.
Because there is a I would say almost like a clear view that I have that, you know, everybody wants to do better for themselves, for their family. Everybody means well, and everybody wants to improve with time. So if we take these things out of the equation, then it all boils down to giving the right environment and giving the right tools for somebody to be able to perform, you know, better. and micromanagement and, you know, policing behind the back, etc., which are very common in the industry, is something which I do not subscribe to. Right. So as far as your question about young people, so for young people, you know, the sky is the limit, as we know. And they have a long way to go, and they are obviously the future of not only our company, but, you know, nation, for the world.
Right.
So I just, you know, try to gauge and also mentor the same thing. I just try to gauge how open they are, because the first thing that helps us in the world today is our openness to change, because it's been a cliche with going on forever, change is the only constant, etc., etc. We keep hearing, and we are seeing that actually happening. You know, the way AI and drones and this and that, the way they are replacing a lot of jobs, the way the world is progressing, the only thing which is certain is that as long as I'm open and as long as I really like to learn new things, that's the only way I'm going to thrive in this, you know, I would say VUCA environment, which is full of uncertainty, which is full of volatility, right? So that's what I mentor, and that's what I also look for in people. And of course, there is a certain ethic that is very important. The ethic is not about following traditions or following the age old way of doing things. The ethic is really about being true to yourself, being true to the job. Now, suppose you have signed up for a job and that job requires a particular, you know, way of working. Then, you know, are you able to follow that? Because you have signed up for it, you know, willfully. So the ethic that we want to see is the ethic of being honest, is the ethic of being sincere and true to oneself. And the last point which I try to emphasize in all my interactions with the team and with outside world also, is that do not become yes men. Do not be afraid to, you know, put your point of view across, because most of the time in corporates, you know, the voices are all muddled up and very few voices are allowed to be heard.
Right.
And they are not necessarily the best ideas or the best, you know, things for the organization. So the first thing we try to do is we try to have a very open door, free from fear kind of, you know, work environment,
right,
which should ideally encourage the people to talk openly about what they believe in, what they feel about.
Right.
And about innovation, you know, the best thing that I learned in my life is that the best innovation comes from bottom up. It never comes from top down. So the best ideas come from people who are the closest to the reality, closest to the market.
Right.
So if we are open-minded to hear everyone's voice, and not only to hear, but to hear in a constructive way, to listen to them and to, you know, allow that to shape our opinions.
Right.
You know, we also need to be open in our mind, not only our ears, but our mind also needs to be open. So I think that's what I want the youngsters to come with, and I really look forward to the youngsters to contribute, you know, a lot.
Absolutely. And I think very well put, Anusar. I think for us also, radical candor is like one key trait that we look at for in people who join the team. And I think you rightly said that once innovation becomes a culture, then everybody in the team is encouraged to kind of be part
right,
of it.
Right.
I think looking at the future now, you know, so today, say if 2035, what do you see as the landscape for, you know, FMCG businesses in the region and probably globally as well? Key trends that you can probably predict.
Yeah. So I think the trends are already playing out, and I think there is hardly anything left to the imagination, because the way things have panned out in the last, let's say, post-COVID years, we have seen like a generational shift in just a few years.
Right.
So some key trends which have already started playing out and which will only accelerate in the coming years, according to me, are the rise of digital commerce,
right,
which even in a country like India, which used to be earlier the terrain of the big, mighty, you know, FMCG companies who used to cover the last mile. These days, we have so many brands that are direct to consumer and that are just using this digital commerce platform to reach consumers. And because of rapid urbanization happening across the world, people moving from, you know, countryside to towns, these digital commerce companies are expanding, you know, big time. And a lot of them are funded by huge private equity or huge venture capital fund firms. And this trend will only accelerate. The trend of, you know, big brands, you know, having to reinvent themselves, and the upstarts, the newcomers, then the new players, you know, coming in and garnering share. I think this will be a trend that will continue, that has already started in the FMCG industry. And the other key trend is then how does a big brand justify its value to a consumer or its market share in the market is by rapid innovation, is by probably, you know, having an army of young, you know, bright, talented people who are given, you know, full freedom to come up with new ideas. Because more often than not, we see that the young companies, the newcomers, they chip away at a particular unserviced niche in the market, which the large MNC has either ignored or not ignored, but maybe they're too big and unwieldy to be able to, you know, capture that opportunity, you know, and most of the time these young companies, maybe many of them are startups, they're able to chip away at these large companies.
Right.
So that trend is going to continue. The other trend of health, which you aptly put earlier in the discussion, that of course is going to go far, far more than what it is today.
Right.
And I'm very happy to see that the young people, you know, today, the millennials or whatever you call them, they are far more conscious about their health than people in my generation when we were that young. And I think it's a continuous trend.
Right.
So people's focus on health is going to keep going up. Protein, you know, for example, when we were growing up, we were never, ever thinking solely about protein when we used to think about our food.
Right.
These days, everybody solely thinks about protein and how much protein, you know, they're taking in, so much so that most of the products that you see on the supermarket shelves have, you know, these declarations of how much protein they have, etc. So this whole thing about protein, this whole thing about health consciousness is only going to keep going up. The other big thing that we are seeing is that our planet, as we all know, is already on the brink of disaster and catastrophe that is being brought upon by ourselves, by mankind itself. I am referring to the climate change,
right,
which climate scientists have advised is irreversible beyond a point of time.
Right.
And as they all the countries agreed in the Rio summit that they will keep the global warming not more than 1.5 degrees, you know, above pre-industrial averages. I am told that, I have read it, that, you know, we are almost there. We are almost reaching that tipping point, which is like a point of no return. So there will be, and there is, a lot of focus on creating a balance between materialism and nature, and making sure that whatever growth we have is in consonance and let's say is in equilibrium with the way nature wants us to grow. And if we try to overrule, you know, the natural systems, then we are seeing a lot more catastrophes that are happening, floods, fires, etc., which are going to increase. So I think this trend is already impacting FMCG companies. We are very conscious about our carbon footprint, for example. And this is going to accelerate even more.
Right.
It will be more and more eco-friendly. People will be looking for more and more renewable, you know, ways of living. So I think this is a constant trend that is already in play and is going to, you know, increase more and more. And then, of course, the big point about technology that you made, the use of technology by FMCG companies. I would say that we are at the stage one of that journey.
Right.
We have just started adopting technology to some extent in some functions, in some isolated, you know, cases. But this is going to, you know, basically become the bedrock of all our processes and systems, you know, going forward.
Right.
And most of our decisions will be taken by humans like me, but they will largely be guided by, you know, AI, ML, and all sorts of, you know, new technologies that come in.
Right.
It will all be data. So, you know, data is going to rule even more.
Right.
FMCG has always been about data, and the person having the right data is always winning. Now that is going to go up. And I do believe that the gap between the haves and the have-nots, meaning the big multinationals and the new startups, is going to keep coming down.
Right.
It's going to narrow because of this access to technology for everybody, because of access to the market for everybody through digital commerce and other platforms.
Right.
So those barriers are going to go down.
Right.
So it becomes like more and more, let's say, challenging to get growth for the large companies. It would require more and more innovations. It requires more and more out-of-box thinking. And I think it's a good thing because it will push us to get some really great, you know, new innovations, new discoveries that will help everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we're towards the end of the conversation, and this is our Leadership Nuggets segment probably. I'm always tempted to ask people what's their favorite product from their portfolio, but I'll put it slightly differently to you. If you were to meet somebody who didn't know about Britannia, what's one product you'll pitch to them?
Well, this is the most difficult question because, frankly, I'm fond of all the products that we make. But yeah, I mean, my personal favorite has been Milk Bikis.
Amazing.
Right. Okay. Since I was a small kid.
Yeah.
So it's a milk-based biscuit with a waffle design at the
right.
top. And I just love the taste of Milk Bikis. So, you know, recently, just to let the viewers know also, we have launched a minis version of our Milk Bikis.
Oh, really?
Which
okay.
comes in doy bags.
Right.
And they're really miniature, cute Milk Bikis. So if you haven't tried that, please go and get some. They're available all across the UAE.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I think outside of product, any new ad campaign that has really inspired you, that you've seen, that you've come across, that you think?
I'm sure that there are lots, and there are lots of really inspiring, you know, commercials. I wouldn't be able to name exactly one commercial, but there have been so many commercials from Coca-Cola to, you know, juice companies to, and the commercials these days are really very smart. They talk about the right things. They talk about ecological balance. They talk about familial ties. So I think the advertising industry has also really, I would say, really come up over the years, and these commercials are really very, very inspiring.
Right.
Yeah.
I think before we let you go, Anu sir, where can people follow you on social media? I know you're not there on too many platforms, but
yeah. So I'm not very active on many platforms, but LinkedIn is something which I'm always actively following. So with my name Anu Gupta, you can search me on LinkedIn and follow me there.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Anu sir, for your time. It's been an absolute masterclass of leadership. It's invaluable for our listeners. Thank you very much. With that, we come to the end of this exciting conversation. For all your technology needs, don't forget to follow us on www.find.com. That's F-Y-N-D. It's a find with a Y. Follow us to know why it is with a Y. Also, don't forget to follow us on the Retail Remix page on LinkedIn. Thank you for joining us today. See you soon with a brand new episode.
Thank you. Thank you, Dharmendra. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you so much. Thank you.